the appearance of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, who is the beloved Gurudev of our spiritual master, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The great personalities of the Lord, their purpose in this world is identical. Upon seeing the lamentable condition of the people suffering in this age of Kali Yuga, and their great, great unwillingness to accept the simple process of Nam Kirtan, the chanting of the holy names, he felt great, great distress. He saw that the so-called Brahmins were so foolishly proud of their high education, their learning of the Vedas, and their high birth, that they would not humble themselves before the Supreme Lord to chant His names. And the common people were so unfortunately attached to material sense gratification that if they were not outright atheists, their conception of religion was worshipping the various demigods or the gods for the purpose of simply material enjoyment, economic development, religiosity, sense gratification, and a few who were aspiring for liberation, but practically nowhere to be found in any direction was that rare soul who was willing to receive the true gift of pure devotional service. So therefore, Sri Advaita Acharya, he began to cry out with loud prayers, appealing to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, that, "My Lord, I am helpless. I cannot break through this great covering of Maya that is covering the hearts of all living beings in this age of Kali Yuga. You are the only one who could do so. So, my Lord, please, kindly, I beg you, descend into this world exclusively for the purpose of delivering the holy name of God to the unfortunate masses in Kali Yuga." So according to the pure devoted prayers of Sri Advaita Acharya, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna descended into this world in His most magnanimous of all incarnations, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So of course, as time goes on, as Krishna explains in Gita, the true religions of the true principles of religion become disturbed, distorted, and compromised. Krishna tells Arjuna that I originally spoke this message to the sun god, who spoke it to his son in disciplic succession. But in course of time, the religion as it is practically been lost, so I have come to reestablish it. Krishna taught us pure surrender to His lotus feet. But as time went on, even the message of Krishna was being completely perverted, except for rare, rare few souls in the disciplic line. Therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reestablish in a dynamic and exciting way how to surrender to Krishna in this age through the chanting of His holy name. But in the 19th century, there was a very, very great spiritual personality who was very much in the same mood as Srila Advaita Acharya. His name was Satchidananda Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is said to be Gaura Shakti, the very incarnation of the divine potency of Sri Chaitanya. His life, his soul, was simply in a compassionate mood of devotion to deliver the message, the pure message of Sri Chaitanya to everyone and to anyone. But when he saw the condition of the world, it brought great sorrow to his heart. Because not only was materialism rampant in all directions, even in India, people were chasing madly after the westernized ideas and giving up their own spiritual heritage. And even within the tradition of Sri Chaitanya, there was massive, massive corruption, pollution, and compromising. So in the same feeling as Sri Advaita Acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with great, great heartfelt prayers, prayed to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that my dear Lord, I know it is not time for you to incarnate again, so I am not going to disturb you for that. But please send one of your own personal assistants from the spiritual world to this world to deliver your holy name and to defeat irreligion and pseudo-religion so that the true glory of pure devotional service may once again be established within human society. So for many long, long hours, days, weeks, months, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was immersed in this prayer of compassion for all living beings. And on February 6, 1874, the English calendar, which falls according to the comparative calendar on this very day today, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wish was fulfilled. He himself gave birth to a son. When this child was born, there was all auspiciousness in all directions. He came out with his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck and across his chest, identical to that of the sacred thread of a Brahmin. It is described when he was just an infant child. Many glorious, miraculous things took place. This child was born in the very sacred holy place of Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the last 18 years of his life constantly. And the place where he disappeared from this world is the place where he sent his divine associate to appear again for the deliverance of his same message. So in Jagannath Puri, every year, as you know, there is the Ratha Yatra. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a big position. He was in charge of the whole temple of Jagannath, and he was also the district magistrate for the town of Puri Dham and the whole area. So he had his house right on the main road where the Jagannath Ratha Yatra takes place. Today, if you go to Jagannath Puri, in that house you will find the birthplace of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So during the Ratha Yatra, the cart of Lord Jagannath was being pulled by the devotees with the tumultuous sound of Hari Kirtan. And when they came just before the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath stopped the cart. And however hard they tried to pull, they could not pull. So at that time, the mother of the wife of Bhaktivinoda decided, this is a very good opportunity for me to give Jagannath's blessings to my baby infant child. So she took the baby, and because of her husband's high position, she was allowed to bring him right to the top of the cart right to where Jagannath was standing. And instantly when this baby saw Jagannath, he immediately reached out and touched his lotus feet. And just as he touched his lotus feet, the most beautiful of all the garlands that was decorating the body of Jagannath fell from his body and perfectly fell around this baby child. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur received this news, it was the confirmation that Krishna, yes, he has answered my prayer. This is his divine associate who has descended for the deliverance of the holy name of Krishna. The life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a long, long story which illustrates at every step the highest quality of spirituality. He was named as a little child Bimala Prasad by his mother and father. It is described when he was between 3 and 4 years old. One day his father brought some mangoes to be offered to Krishna, and the little child happened to eat one of the mangoes. And Bhaktivinoda, in a very, very gentle but concerned manner, he informed his child that, you know, you have eaten this mango before Krishna. You should only take after Krishna. So the little 3.5-year-old child, he became so upset and disturbed that he had committed such an offense that he made a vow that for the rest of my life I will never touch another mango. And this vow he preserved throughout his whole life. Even when he was an old man, of course you know, during the mango season, everyone likes to bring mangoes to the sadhus. So people would bring him so many ripe, delicious mangoes, and whenever it was offered, with tears in his eyes, he would say, I cannot accept it because I am an offender. I am offensive, I cannot take. This child had miraculous powers. When he was only 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. And not only that, but he could give elaborate explanations and purports to any verse. From his very earliest years, he was always anxious to assist his father's mission. His father was constantly endeavoring to reach out with the message of Godhead to all living beings. It is described that when he was a young man, in Mayapur, he made a vow. This vow was that he would sit in one place without moving, in a little shack, little straw hut, and he would chant 1 billion names of God. During the rainy season, rain would pour through the straw of the hut, and he would sit with an umbrella chanting practically 24 hours a day, eating practically nothing. He was determined to fulfill this vow. But one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told him, my dear son, you have taken this vow, but the whole world is suffering due to the illusion of Maya. Therefore, more important than sitting in this holy place chanting for your own purification, you should go to those big cities which are most populated and there perform the great sacrifice of glorifying my holy name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at that time gave up his own conceptions and began to travel far and wide distributing the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. It is described that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is actually a little before what I have just spoken. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he ordered his son when he was a young man that you must now accept initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, otherwise your life is a useless waste. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he requested his own father to initiate him. He said, no, this is not proper according to the tradition. There is one very great sadhu, a Paramhamsa Vaishnav, in the highest renunciation. His name is Gora Kishore Das Babaji. You must accept initiation from him. So Bimala Prasad approached Srila Gora Kishore Das Babaji. At that time, Bimala Prasad, he was considered to be like a living encyclopedia. He had read libraries of books, and he had such a memory that he could, at any time, in any place, cite any line from any book he had ever read. He had infallible intelligence. Gora Kishore Das Babaji did not know how to read. He did not know how to write. By all mundane standards, he was an illiterate. But he could perfectly cite the essence of all scripture at any time. And he was celebrated by all the Vaishnavas as being the topmost of all pure devotees of the Lord. But in his natural humility, when he was approached by this great, great scholar, he said, how could I instruct you? How could I be your guru? I am illiterate and you are a great pundit. Besides that, I have never initiated anyone in my life and I have made the decision that I will never initiate. So better you go find someone else. So Bimala Prasad returned to his father's home. And his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you have received diksha? He said, no, my father, you will not initiate me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, then get out of my house and don't come back. Human form of life is meant for self-realization. Without a guru, there is no question of self-realization. My duty as a father is to take you back to Godhead, not simply to feed you. If you do not accept the guru, you are worthless as a son. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is then Bimala Prasad, he returned to Gora Kishore Das Babaji. Said, please, I humbly petition you, accept me as your disciple. Gora Kishore said, I'm sorry, go away. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bimala Prasad, he decided that what is the use of this life without Gurudev? So he went to the banks of the Ganges and he was about to drown himself. At that time, Gora Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj happened to be just in the vicinity. It was not known to Bhaktisiddhanta that he was there. And he ran and caught the young man and said, what are you doing? He says, please leave me alone. I have come to commit suicide. Why? Because this human form of life is meant for love of God. Without a guru, there is no possibility of loving God. If you do not accept me as your disciple, then what is the purpose of my living? It's just a waste of time. Every breath that I breathe is just a waste of Krishna's energy. So my vow is to end my life. At that time, Gora Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj smiled and he said, now you have proven that you are worthy to accept diksha. Because a worthy disciple is one who has no other ambition, no other purpose, and no other goal in life than to serve his spiritual master for the purpose of awakening his love of God. So at that time, Srila Gora Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, seeing the unparalleled determination of this young man initiated him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur at one time was supposed to give a very important lecture. There was a large congregation or assembly of Brahmins, Vaishnavas, sadhus, scholars from all around. And at that time, of course, the Brahmins were very much proud, and the caste Goswamis, that if you are not born according to our tradition by birth, then you have no access to our to the mercy of God as we are receiving it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very strongly fought against this materialistic misconception. He considered this one of the greatest diseases that was plaguing even the so-called holy men of India. So he was supposed to deliver one lecture, but he became very ill. He was quite old at the time. So he sent his son, Bimala Prasad. And when Bimala Prasad went, all these very, very proud persons were in the audience. And the first thing he did is he started praising those who were brahminical by birth. And they were all very happy, very enlivened, thinking, yes, this man has understood our glories. And then he proceeded to explain that birth has nothing to do with being a Brahmin. That if you are not qualified to be a Brahmin, then you might as well call yourself a Sudra. He said, and then he began to quote sloka after sloka after sloka from the scripture, that Brahmin is by quality, not by birth. And even if you are born a dog eater, if you are a devotee of the Lord, you are higher than any Brahmin. And then he began to explain how a Vaishnav, one who is a devotee of the Lord, is supreme even over any Brahmin. And he began to explain from any country, from any nationality, from any caste, from any race, one who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chants his holy name is, according to all scriptures, to be given the highest position of respect by all intelligent classes of men. He spoke so strongly that all those who were envious and proud, like little sheep, they just disappeared from the assembly. And those who had open and sincere hearts, they gathered around him, applauded, and congratulated him for his great victory by establishing the true principles of religion. Soon after this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur left his body. Bimala Prasad understood the great necessity to carry on his father's will in this world. He was considered also the greatest astrologer in all of India. Very famous. In fact, he wrote a book which was a commentary on one of the great scriptures called the Surya Siddhanta. And the scholars of the day were so pleased with this great treatise of astrology that they named him Siddhanta Saraswati. Soon after this, he decided that for the purpose of preaching, it would be very conducive to accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. And he felt that there was no one that was qualified, no one who he respected properly to initiate him. So he went to Sridhar Mayapur, the holy place of Lord Chaitanya's birth, and there, in front of a picture of his Gurudev, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he performed the fire sacrifice himself and took the vows of a sannyasi and renamed himself Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur began to travel throughout all of India, especially Calcutta. He started his mission there. He had little money and hardly any followers. But after a short time, some very, very highly educated and sincere persons began to join his mission. They were renting a small little place in Calcutta. The address was 1 Ultadanka Junction Road. And there every evening on the rooftop under a jackfruit tree, he would give lectures from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is explained by our Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that this was the holy place where he first met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he tells the story as follows. He explains that when he was young, his father was a pure devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya. And every day his father would invite no less than 5 sadhus to sit for prasad with the family. And the little child, whose name was at that time Abhay, he used to see that practically all of these sadhus were smoking hashish, ganja. They were not really very holy men. They were professional sadhus. So he did not have so much respect for these sadhus. But his father had such a sentiment for the renounced order in his pure devotion that he would go on serving them despite whatever apparent inadequacies may have been there. So one day, when Abhay, we are speaking of Srila Prabhupada, Abhay was a young man in his early 20s. He had just married and just had 1 baby child. His friend, Narendranath Mulak, told him that, "I have just met a very, very great saint, very good sadhu. He's speaking this evening. I would like to take you just now." Abhay said, "I have seen so many sadhus. I am not interested in seeing any more." He said, no, this man is different." Abhay said, no, please, I have other things to do." So his friend took him by the hand and started to pull him. Meanwhile, they were causing quite a scene right on the public road. So finally, Abhay said, "All right, I will go." They ascended the stairway, entered into the roof. There was a small gathering of disciples. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting on his raised vyasasan, sitting with his back straight. He was a very large man, over 6 feet tall. His eyes, always piercing with divine mercy and compassion. Abhay and his friend approached the lotus feet of this great saint, and they both offered their prostrated obeisances. And while they were down in this state, before even rising to their seats, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur very boldly commanded Abhay with the following words: "You are an intelligent young man. You should take the message of Sri Chaitanya and in the English language spread it throughout the Eastern and Western worlds." The young man was shocked. He had never seen or met this man before, and he's giving him a life mission. At the time, Abhay was an advocate of the nationalistic movement of Mahatma Gandhi. So he told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he did not feel it was the right time to be spreading the message of pure devotional service, because who in the world will listen? As long as India is being predominated by the British Empire, they are considered second class. Therefore, religion is a luxury. The first and foremost of all necessities is we must stand behind Gandhiji and get independence. Then we could think about these other things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, with infinite conviction, replied that Krishna consciousness is the only urgent need of human society. That politics are always changing. There's no stability in any other principle except Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is an emergency. People are wasting their human forms of life. It cannot wait another moment for anything else. The soul is not this body. All these nationalistic conceptions that I am Indian, I am American, I am Russian, I am Pakistani, they are all an illusion. We must crush through all these illusions and establish the true principle that we are all the children under one God. We are all eternally part and parcel of Krishna. This is the eternal truth and the eternal necessity of the soul. Years later, Srila Prabhupada would tell us, with tears of love in his eyes, that I was thoroughly defeated by my Guru Maharaj, and I was so happy to be so. They spoke for some hours. And during that first meeting, which took place in the year 1922, Srila Prabhupada accepted within his heart that this is my eternal father, my spiritual master. You can take that away now. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, Srila Prabhupada began to think, I want to assist this great saint. But I just married. I have a child. I just started into the business world. I cannot give up my responsibilities. I must take care of them. We were listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada this morning. He was narrating the story, how he was thinking, how much I want to just join Bhaktisiddhanta and just preach and carry out his mission instantly. But because I had a wife and a child, I was thinking I must take care of these responsibilities first. And then Srila Prabhupada said, but I should have done it then. I was in Maya. Of course, that is his humility. So soon after that, Srila Prabhupada was transferred in his business. Actually, not transferred, but by his own will. He wanted to increase, you know, he was thinking that let me make lots of money and use it for helping to propagate my Gurudev's mission. So he moved to Allahabad. And for the next 10 years, he was always meditating on his Guru Maharaj, but he did not see him again. It is described that during the Kumbh Mela, some of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Allahabad to start a temple. The mission of Bhaktisiddhanta was called the Gaudiya Math. So Srila Prabhupada, when he heard that they had been there, he was approached by one devotee. He was very anxious to help them in any way he could. Very regularly he would go to have the kirtan with them and assist them in any way they could. Then it is described by Srila Prabhupada that he had heard news. This was in October of 1932, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was leading a great parikram of all of Braj Mandala, the holy places of Sri Krishna. It was the first of this kind ever. There were thousands of people, and the organization was something fantastic. There was horses. There was a beautiful palanquin for the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur organized it was that in the morning, all of the tents, they had a whole, like a village of tents and pandals. They would transfer it to the place where they would be the next night and set up this whole little city and have kitchens, cooking, and lights made of gas. And then the devotees would walk to the various holy places, and finally in the evening they would come there, they would have nice prasad. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give lecture every evening, and then everyone would go in their tents and take rest. So Abhay was thinking, let me go to meet my Gurudev in this holy place of Vrindavan. My heart has been longing to see him, meditating on him day and night. Here is an opportunity to meet with him again. But because of his business and so forth, he only had one day to spare. So he found out that his guru was in Koshi on that day. Koshi is the place where Nanda Maharaj would keep his treasury. He arrived at night. When he arrived, there was an announcement. The announcement was that tomorrow morning, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be leaving the parikram. He will be speaking tonight. But simultaneously, there will be a yatra where we will all go to visit the holy temple of Sheshashayi Vishnu. So, of course, practically everyone joined the procession to go to this holy temple. But Abhay was thinking that when my Gurudev is here and I could hear from him, what is the use of going to a temple? His lotus feet contain all the holy places throughout all the universes. So there was only a small handful of disciples, mostly sannyasis, who were sitting at the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta that evening. And Prabhupada sat with him, and he spoke for hours and hours and hours. And as he was speaking, many of the sannyasis had other duties. They were excusing themselves. And soon it was just a few disciples and Abhay sitting at the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta. At the end of the discussion, Srila Prabhupada, he explains, he was thinking that this great soul's mission is my life and soul. Srila Prabhupada explained that rarely did I have questions for my Guru Maharaj. I would simply love to just sit and hear him speak. So Srila Prabhupada went back to Allahabad. Atulananda Brahmachari at that time was the president of the Math. And he informed Abhay that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be coming after only 1 month to establish a new temple, groundbreaking ceremony, and he would also be giving initiation. So Abhay asked whether it would be possible for Bhaktisiddhanta to accept him as a disciple. He said, when he comes, you discuss it with him. So while Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking one night, Srila Prabhupada, Abhay, and several other guests who were aspiring devotees were introduced by Bhakti Siddhanta as aspiring disciples. And Bhakti Siddhanta immediately looked at Abhay and said, "Yes, I will accept him as my disciple because he hears very well. He sits and he hears and he does not go away. I have marked this." On that day of initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he handed Srila Prabhupada his japa mala, which was duly sanctified by him. And he gave him the name Abhay Charanaravinda. This took place in 1933. Srila Prabhupada had shifted to Bombay shortly after this, 1935. And there, the auspicious meeting took place where two of his godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, they were sent by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dev to Bombay to open a branch of the Gaudiya Math. So they appealed to Abhay to help them. So he began to travel with them from place to place, introducing them to his friends, to his associates. And what they would do is Abhay would first lead kirtan, because he was a very sincere and devoted kirtan singer. And everyone recognized this and was very much impressed by his tremendous devotion in chanting the holy names. And then Srila Sridhar Maharaj would give lecture. And then Bhakti Saranga Maharaj would make an appeal for people to donate for building a new temple. So in this way, the three of them were a team traveling throughout Bombay. At last, they found a temple. They did not have the funds to build, but they found a two-story building, which they rented. And on February 25th was the Vyas Puja ceremony of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And Srila Prabhupada delivered a beautiful poem that completely struck everyone's minds with wonder. Later on, this poem reached the ears of Bhakti Siddhanta, who happened to be in Jagannath Puri. And when he heard this, he said, "Anything that this young man speaks or anything that he writes must be printed in our literatures." Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was invited to Bombay for the installation ceremony of the deity of Krishna. And while he was here, Bhakti Saranga Swamiji approached Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, "This Abhay Babu, such an incredible preacher he is, and so sincere, and how much he's helping. He practically single-handedly has established your math here in Bombay. We are thinking that he should follow your instruction and become the temple president and give his full time." And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied, No. "I want him to be outside and separate for now. This is my desire." He said, "You just wait and see. In due course of time, alone, he will do everything. This I know for sure. And when these words reach the ears of Abhay, burning desire to fulfill the desire of this spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charanaravinda, met about a dozen times. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt such an intimate affection and love for Abhay. He would speak so freely with him. It is described that one time at Radhakund, Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charanaravinda at that time, he went to visit his Gurudev. And together, these two great souls, they walked around the Shyamakund and Radhakund. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was revealing his mind. He was revealing his mind of how he saw that within his mat, even the leaders were sometimes arguing amongst one another over positions or such superficial things as this. And he very much impressed within the heart of Abhay the necessity to work together in Krishna consciousness and give up all superficial differences. And he told him at that time that when we were at Ultadang Junction Road living simply, everyone was working very hard without anything, asking anything in return. But now we have big, big temples. People are fighting over whose is whose. He said, in my opinion, it would be better to sell all the marble of the temples and print books. And he told Abhay that if ever you get money, print books, distribute them widely. Of course, we know that Srila Prabhupada took this instruction as his life and soul. In December of 1936, Abhay Charanaravinda wrote a letter to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that you have so many sannyasi and brahmacharis disciples who are just giving all their time and energy in your service. But I am a grihastha and I cannot do so much. Please instruct me. What is it that you want me to do? At that time, his Gurudev was very old, and he was in his last days in his earthly pastime. And he wrote back to Srila Prabhupada the same message he gave him on their first meeting, that I am pleased with you. He said, if you truly want to serve me and please me, use your good intelligence to spread the glories of Sri Chaitanya's teaching in the English language all over the world. On January 1st, 1937, at 5:30 a.m., His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, departed from this mortal world to return to his divine lila with Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada He's constantly meditating on the first and last instruction that he received. He was immersed in his heart, always reflecting on that divine instruction. It is described that years later, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to him in dreams. And each time he would tell Prabhupada the same thing: take sannyas and preach. He had three dreams of such. And based on this instruction, Srila Prabhupada left after his children were grown up. He left all of his responsibilities and obligations of this world to dedicate his body, mind, soul, everything to the fulfillment of his Gurudev's order. In 1959, he accepted the renounced order of life from one of the great disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhakti Pragya Keshav Maharaj. He settled in Vrindavan, and on the basis of his guru's instruction, he began to write profusely. Actually, today is also a very important appearance day of something else. On the order of his Guru Maharaj, in 1944, on his Guru's appearance day, which is today, Srila Prabhupada initiated a tradition which is going on still today. It was the day of the first publication of Back to Godhead magazine. He offered at the feet of his guru on this day. In 1965, Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70 years old, set out to fulfill the burning desire of his spiritual master. Alone and with no funds, he took that famous journey on the Jaladuta across the Atlantic to the dark lands of America, spiritually dark. And within the next few years, based on his burning faith and devotion to the order of his spiritual master, he established over 108 centers, initiated thousands of people, and fulfilled the prophecy single-handedly of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in every town and village throughout the earth, my name will be heard. Srila Prabhupada would often tell us, there has never been a single moment when I am not feeling the presence of my spiritual master in my life. And it is only by his mercy, by his grace, that this has been done. I remember one time a newspaper reporter asked Srila Prabhupada if he was self-realized, if he was a pure devotee. He said, no. He said, my only qualification is I am the humble servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I only do his will and I only speak what he has said. Whatever glory is there is his. Of course, Srila Prabhupada no one has ever seen such dedication to the spiritual master. And he would appeal to us again and again and again that this is my Guru Maharaj's mission. His desire is that all living beings be blessed with the divine chance to go back to Godhead through the chanting of the holy name of Sri Krishna. And he would appeal to us, please, sincerely give your life and soul to assist me in this mission. And this, of course, is the greatest service that we could render to him, to simply assist him in this mission. Not even being concerned with our own material happiness or even our own liberation, but simply to be an instrument in his hands to assist him in this mission. Of course, this wonderful, wonderful and sweet relationship between guru and disciple comes down through disciplic succession. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada gave us all, directly or indirectly, a mission to dedicate our life to assist him. One of Srila Prabhupada's most important dreams or visions for establishing Krishna consciousness worldwide was to conquer America through cultural means. Because he said, what America does, the world will follow. So today, on the auspicious appearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is my grandfather, Guru, we have felt that it is very appropriate that there is no day that Srila Prabhupada would be more pleased to be installed upon his Vyasasan. And we thank you all very much for joining this wonderful celebration. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that the grandfather Guru is always more kind than the Guru himself to the disciple. He said, even in this world, the father is often very strict with the son, but a grandfather is practically beyond his capacity to be strict with the grandson. Always very gentle, always very kind. He said, so similarly, your param guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you should pray for his causeless mercy, because he will always be very lenient and tolerant and merciful to you. So of course, most all of you, you have that relationship with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is your grandfather Guru. He will be most merciful to you. He will be most kind upon you, like a grandfather to a granddaughter or grandson. So we should take every opportunity to pray for His causeless mercy. So now, in honor of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance celebration, we will have the Pushpanjali offering, and then we will have Guru Puja for the disciplic succession of spiritual masters. So the way the Pushpanjali is offered is everyone stand, and we stand around the Vyasasans. But this is especially for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is your great-grandfather Guru. And everyone repeat one word after me, three times. Oh, the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, that holy place, my Lord and Master, His Divine Grace. O my Master, the Evangelic Angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race. The only hope is divine grace. Misled we all, misled we are, all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wander thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy the illusion's toll. Darkness around, all untrace, the only hope is divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace. That's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us life, anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told? The message of Krishna, forceful and bold. That's your right. You have the mace. Save me, a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service as drawn by you is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress. Miracle done, your divine grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Das. Srila Prabhupada also composed a speech. I would like to just read the first paragraph. He read this at the Gaudiya Math here in Bombay on the Vyas Puja of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is a very, very wonderful opportunity for us to hear Prabhupada's transcendental mood. Gentlemen, the offerings of such a homage has been arranged this evening to the Acharya Dev is not a sectarian concern. Because when we speak of the fundamental principle of Gurudev or Acharya Dev, we speak of something that is of universal application. There does not rise any question of discriminating my guru from that of yours or anyone else's. There is only one guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me and all others. The guru or Acharya Dev, as we learn from the bona fide scriptures, delivers the message of the absolute world. I mean the transcendental abode of the absolute personality, where everything non-differentially serves the absolute truth. Therefore, if the absolute truth is one about which we think there is no difference of opinion, the guru also cannot be two. The Acharya Dev to whom we have assembled tonight to offer our homage, our humble homage, is not the guru of a sectarian institution or one out of many differing exponents of truth. On the contrary, he is the Jagat Guru or the guru of all of us. The only difference is that some may obey him wholeheartedly, while others do not obey him directly. Gentlemen, our knowledge is poor, our senses are so imperfect, and our sources are so limited that it is not possible for us to even the slightest knowledge of the absolute region without surrendering ourselves at the lotus feet of Sri Vyasadeva or his bona fide representative. We must conclude that the darkness of the present age is not due to a lack of material advancement, but that we have lost the clue to our spiritual advancement, which is the prime necessity of human life and the criterion of the highest type of civilization. Throwing of bombs from airplanes is no advancement of civilization from the primitive, uncivilized way of dropping big stones on the heads of the enemies from the tops of hills. Improvement of the art of killing our neighbors by inventing machine guns and by means of poisonous gases is certainly no advancement from primitive barbarism, priding itself on its art of killing with bows and arrows. Nor does the development of a sense of pampered selfishness prove anything more than intellectual animalism. Thus, while others were yet in the womb of historical oblivion, the sages of India had developed a different kind of civilization, which enables us to know ourselves. They had discovered that we are not at all materially entities, but we are spiritual, permanent, and non-destructible servants of the Absolute. Gentlemen, although we are like ignorant children in the knowledge of the transcendence, still His divine grace, my Gurudev, has kindled a small fire within us to dissipate the invincible darkness of the empirical knowledge, and we are so much and so on the safe side that no amount of philosophical argument of the empiric schools of thought can deviate us an inch from the position of our eternal dependence on the lotus feet of His divine grace. And we are prepared to challenge the most erudite scholars of the Mayavad school on this vital issue, that the personality of Godhead and His transcendental sports in Goloka alone constitute the sublime information of the Vedas. Personally, I have no hope to have any direct service for the coming crores of births of the sojourn of my life. But I am confident that some day or other I shall be delivered from the mire of illusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk. Therefore, let me with all my earnestness pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to let me suffer the lot which I am destined to do for all my past misdoings, but to let me have this power of recollection that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty, Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my divine master. Let me therefore bow down at His lotus feet with all the humility